Hey everybody, it's Scott again. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. Thank you for tuning in yet again to another installment here. Beautiful day to be alive and a beautiful day to work with such awesome sponsors. Let me tell you about a couple of the sponsors real quick before we get to today's episode. One of them happens to be Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Manskirt Brewing is a fantastic craft brewery, a great place to hang. There's new murals going up, new tanks going in all the time. The brewery is evolving. Great place to go have a pint and just go sit and chill, play some games, listen to music, and just try 8 seasonally inspired taps, okay, rotating all the time. They got Oktoberfest coming up, September 28th, 29th, and 30th, right in Hackettstown. They're going to have several new beers on tap. They just released Fezzik and Inigo, 2 saisons from the same grain that are totally different from each other. Fezzik's 13% if you want to get banged up. Inigo is 5% if you want to have more of a session there. So go check out Manskirt Brewing. Go check out Joe in his Manskirt. Give him some love and go have a craft beer. That is Manskirt Brewing. Now, we are also sponsored by an up-and-coming clothing company called Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F. That is Wake Up, Live Free. Wolf Nation, it's only a dream if you are not pursuing it. Richie over there at Wolf Nation is putting out all sorts of new clothes, leggings, snapback hats, sweatshirts, sweatpants. You name it, go check out wolfnation.rocks. That is Wake Up, Live Free, and support a young entrepreneur and a new clothing company, designer clothes for men, women, children, you name it. That is Wolf Nation. Wake Up, Live Free. Finally, Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution is a trivia company based all out of New Jersey in beer bars, breweries, okay? You can come out and play for free, all right? Win prizes, but you can be in last place. You could be the stupidest person you know and still win prizes. There's bonus items. They play craft beer bingo now, so go check out Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right, so this week on the podcast, we have an old familiar guest, A.J. Mattioli, an LGBT director of many films like the film Words, which you can check out now on Amazon. He has come and joined us many times, give us updates on his life, his transition, and the LGBT world. We had a fun podcast today, so we talked about Mike's injuries and a whole bunch of other things. So, guys, with that, enjoy the podcast.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back, Michael. How?
It's an honor.
Are you? Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. Not just you, Mike, but all the millions and millions of podcast listeners that tune in weekly, waiting, anticipating every Friday for that new episode to drop.
You think we'll have a good episode this week?
Probably not.
It doesn't matter what you think.
You should just talk like The Rock the entire episode. You smell that? But welcome back, everybody. Verbal Shenanigans. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm Scott, and that there is Mike down in the Sweet Peach State or whatever they call it. I like that you just wave to the listeners that are not watching us.
No, you know, I'd like to indicate to you if we ever come into a video type of media, you know.
Yeah.
Just remind you, hi, Scott.
Yeah, that's one of the things we hope to be doing soon. Just some video work. There's a couple of things we got to tighten up after this, but we'll get to it. But anyway, Verbal Shenanigans, we generally have a guest, an interesting guest. Last week we had Kenny Kramer, the influence for Cosmo Kramer, Larry David's old roommate, which I, not roommate, neighbor, which I very much enjoyed that interview. That was a cool one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he was a very laid-back guy, and we had to reiterate to our fans, please go back to the episode. He'll have an email address. Email him saying that you listened to the episode. We need to remind our guests that we actually get people to listen to our little ramblings every week.
Yes, yes. We need some assurance that you guys are not all just bots out there.
Yeah.
But Berlu, I mean, I guess we got to start right here. I mean, I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're looking at each other. Callback.
Callback.
And you look like a prize fighter right now.
Yeah, you have a very large Band-Aid on.
Let me describe it for the audience here.
I'll get a close-up for you so you can describe it.
Too close. Okay, that's good. So it's a Band-Aid wrapping from what looks like your left eye, correct, over your nose.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it goes basically from your outside of your eye by your cheek all the way down, like strapped to the top of your nose. Which we'll have to, we'll post a picture for the audience. These last 2 weeks are full of pictures of you for our Instagram.
We talked about earlier how I had a very young modeling career, that I went to the cover of Sport magazine, and now it's all to tuition. Like, you faded away from your mattress modeling career.
Yeah.
Where I said, give it to me.
Mattress modeling might be over before it began. Like, it might never happen, man. I don't know. But yeah, I want to make Verbal Shenanigans shirts with the picture of you in the sports magazine. That's my next goal. I've been working on it a little bit.
I think it should be a side by side. Yours shirtless on the horse and me on sport magazine.
There you go. That's pretty good. But okay, so what the hell happened to you?
Well, Friday morning, I was running around. I was running late for work, and I went into the bedroom to go take a shower. And simply put, running around, I open up the shower as normal. The door swings out, and it keeps coming. It hits me in the glasses, and then it just tears into my nose and into my cheek. And it fell out.
So the door hit your cheek, or the glasses went into your cheek?
The door hit the glasses, then hit my nose and cheek. Basically, after later examination, I can see the top piece where the door gets set into. There's a screw that's a little loose.
Like a hinge, kind of?
Yeah, like a hinge. So, it looks like the top piece, like when we tried to put it right back in, it wasn't staying in there. And for what I see, there's a screw that's a little bit out, so the top piece isn't pressed down far enough to keep the door in position. And it was, I don't know whether you call it good luck or bad luck, I was wearing glasses, because it's always one of those, even when you get injured and you didn't get an injury, all you can think about is the money that you had to pay for something that broke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my left glass frame and the lens has a huge scratch down it. So, like, everybody's like, well, if you weren't wearing your glasses, you'd be losing an eye. I'm like, I don't care. You know how expensive glasses are?
I don't care about my eye. I can get one on the black market.
Yeah, I can put on one of them cool pirate patches on there, and I'll be looking sick, you know?
I've got an eye guy.
I can put on, like, a leather jacket with it and all, and they'll be like, ooh, who's that dangerous fellow over there? I don't want to mess with him.
I got an eye guy.
And the girls be, like, swooning.
He'll have me one in 48 hours. Give me an eye. So now, what is the initial reaction, and what is the initial level of pain here? Like, is it a lot of pain, or is it more just like, what the hell kind of happened here?
It's more what the hell kind of happened. There's wasn't really any pain. Like, if I press down close to my cheekbone, I can feel it's a little sore, so I might have a bruise when I'm all said and done there. But it was just one of those. I'm just trying to get to work, sitting back, because all you can think about is that 3-day weekend. You just want to get that last day done so you can sit back and relax. You're running late, and then just add to it, you know, that big ass scratch, and then it's like you have no time to just like comprehend what happened and all. I'm like running upstairs to get into the upstairs shower. There's like no washcloths up there, so I'm all pissed off, bleeding from my scar, naked, yelling, no washcloths! I gotta get to work! And
So pretty much your standard day, but with a scratch.
Yeah. That's the usual Burloo morning. Where's the watch? I keep telling you, look at that. I don't care. Point them out.
Screaming naked. Now, the one picture you put up, I'm looking now, it almost looks like you got like it's kind of pussy looking. You got like, it's almost orange looking.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I mean, because, like I said, I was running late and, you know, I washed my face and everything, but we didn't have any kind of first aid stuff in the house. So I had to run to Rite Aid as is to get like Band-Aids and Neosporin and all that. So that's when I took the, even after I got, like I said, I just had to get right into the car and sprint out. I couldn't just do first aid because I was running late. So that was after I finally got to the office, probably about an hour, 15, hour 20 after it happened and all, before I actually did any kind of first aid stuff to it. So it was almost like a clear, watery kind of blood right there. And
yeah, it's got an odd look to it. It looks almost like it's very old and it's like crusted over, but I guess it's pretty fresh.
It was still fresh and all. That was like clear water, whatever. I mean, I never got the full like blood pouring everywhere kind of deals.
Oh,
and
shucks.
So
what is the reaction at work? You come in with this massive scratch on your face. Like, you walk in, and do you get looks immediately? Do you address it immediately? How do we do this?
The oddest thing about it, like the whole thing going into the day, I'm like, all right, what really pissed you off? You're like, I'm going to go through the whole day having to explain to everybody how a shower door ripped open my face. Nothing. One person said, oh, did you do something of an office of like 50, 60 people? So one person asked.
So that brings up like a couple thoughts. Like, do they never look at your face? Are they embarrassed? Do they not want to bring it up because it's awkward? Are you so invisible that they're just like, ah, oh, cool face? You know, like maybe they think you've always had that.
Yeah, they just naturally assume I just scar up my face, I guess. I don't know.
I'm trying to think if, like, somewhat like a coworker that I don't, like, talk to that much, we walked in with a busted up face, if I would address it right away. I'm unsure.
There's a coin flip, and on, because immediately when you see it, you want to ask, but I guess a part of you sit back and go, I guess if he wants to tell it, they'll tell it kind of deals.
Yeah, what's the move? Like, how would you, if I came into work, you kind of didn't know me, I had a big burlo scratch on my face, how would you present the go about figuring out what happened?
I guess it would be like the slow kind of, you know, just conversation and all. So how's your day going so far?
So you start with a little like non-related questions, like, oh,
yeah,
hey,
just something where generic. I'm saying, give me the story, but I'm not directly asking for the story.
You see the game, you know, last night?
Yeah.
Hot weather out there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, what the hell happened to your face?
So you look like the Phantom of the Opera right now. Do tell.
I think... I don't know if you can go in with the leading questions, because then it's almost obvious that you're trying to attach to the person to figure out what the hell happened to your face.
Yeah, but you hand it to them to give the mood of, okay, I will tell you the story. If they're so still pissed off or like, everything's fine, you know, shit happened.
You almost want them to come out with it first. Like, oh, yeah, everything's good, but I busted my face up.
Yeah, if you want to offer it to me, that's nice, and I get to hear a story. If you're still kind of angry about it, maybe later in the day, hey, how was lunch?
this is a very Seinfeld-esque kind of question, actually. You know, like, yeah, a conversation, like, who, you know, what is the procedure to ask someone what the hell happened to the face?
Yeah, I could kind of see like Jerry or George kind of slowly building, and then Kramer comes in. Whoa!
Yeah. Like Jerry would have some kind of rule, like, ah, it's you can't do this, you know, you can't do that, and some George would mess it up somehow. That's kind of. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, like I remember like a couple people at work having like, you know, whatever, like stuff removed from their head, like whether like cancer spots or moles or whatnot, coming in with big giant band-aids on, and I just never addressed it until they would say something. Like I remember, I don't even know if they ever said what the hell it was, but we know what it was, you know?
So,
but I guess you're lucky it didn't happen before your wedding.
That was the running, well, look on the bright side kind of items for everybody, you know? It's, you know, you had the small jokes there. I will give credit to like one of a friend, not even a comic friend, where she put up the gif of Marcia getting hit in the foot in the face with the football, and oh, I'll never be a teen model. It's like, all right, that's points. That's like headliner looking for stuff versus the obvious items and all.
That Izzy beat you.
What's that?
Izzy beat you? Yeah.
Well, wow, you've been married for a week and all. What the hell did you do?
Well, you know, I mean, you could tell us that she did beat you.
Yeah, that's true. And all, and that way, you know, if anybody missed a wedding and can get it annulled, and then we'll make up and we'll just do a second Georgia wedding.
Ah, you know? Yes. Yeah. So I guess, sure. I guess with that, you know, how's married life? You know, which you probably get that question 45 times.
It's
same as dating life.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It was a very nice wedding. Very little stress. I did have one stressful moment in the morning. So the girl went out with her best friend, her maid of honor, to get the hair done. And I was slowly getting stuff ready for the outside. So I was packing up the coolers with ice and bringing it out to the kind of our patio picnic area, whatever you want to call it, outside. So I grabbed the last cooler. It's the one full beer, and I pick it up, and the one handle snaps, and all the ice just flows out. Two beers break open where it's smelling really nice, and all I'm doing is I'm running around in shorts and a t-shirt with a mop trying to clean up everything. Meanwhile, while I'm opening the garage door to, you know, kind of mop all this stuff out and all, that's when Izzy and her maid of honor are trying to come in, and I'm like texting her because she was texting me like, oh, Izzy's like freaking out as always because she gets anxious as we know she's sweet, but she gets very much anxiety. So I just text her. I'm like, keep her away for a minute. So that happened in the garage. Nothing major. Just tell her stay away from the garage. And also I had to spend an hour of my prep time just mopping up Yingling from my garage floor and pushing her. So,
jeez.
Yeah, it went all over. Like, because it wasn't just like the ice came out and some beers, like you said, like a second beer kind of flew out. And then on the other side, the garage decided to open up on the other side where it was a big ass puddle of beer where I'm like, all right, that's going to smell nasty if I don't mop it
up. Great. Mike's chugging beers in the fridge in the garage again, slamming them on the ground when he's done.
I don't know. Should I get married? I'm not sure. Let me have another Yingling. Like, God damn it.
Well, as far as that, how did the rest of the day go?
The wedding went spectacular. Izzy looked beautiful. She got a dress from a local store here that worked perfectly and helped her out and all customizing it. Pictures came out well. We had some fun ones. We had one where she wore her Mets cap. I wore my Phillies cap and just kind of looked angry at each other, so that was fun. There will be another photo coming out that might have me wearing a t-shirt of a certain podcast as a wedding photo, so we will see how that turns out.
Is it ours?
No, it's the Shining Wizards. Oh. It was, I mean, they really propped me up, so, you know, I had to hook them up.
It'd be funny if it's just some like random podcast like out that we never heard of. Yeah, dude.
Cool. Fox News podcast. What the hell? Well, we're in the South.
NPR. All right, I get it, but.
Mm-hmm. But you know, ceremony was beautiful. We did our own vows. Izzy did her song that she did for me, the one she made for my 40th birthday that she didn't do on the podcast but did later. Food was great, good friends that were there. It was real fun, relaxed time, and you know? It was good to be able to do it from home where I can get into like shorts and shirt and just kind of relax, you know.
Did you, at the end of the night, did you guys put on the Mickey ears and go to town on each other?
We didn't go to town on each other, but if you saw from my page, there is a photo of me in a groomsman Mickey ears thing and Izzy with her ears on. We had to do it because the cake was Disney related.
Ah.
So, and I know you're going to plop that up somewhere on some page, so...
I'm trying to remember what this one looks like. I don't know if I remember it.
It's me in front of the cake. I would have to go to my browser.
You did post your leg up Disney picture that we were talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing we're going to have a whole bunch more to get in and dig deep on and analyze.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's I'm sure it'll happen at some point. I mean, the photographer should be getting our pictures in our couple weeks or so.
I see the Mickey ears now. I don't even know if I saw this one.
Yeah, it's the one where we're standing in front of the cake, mm-hmm. and Callie's there.
Oh, wow. You have a Mr. and Mrs. Disney shirt.
Yep. We actually have two Disney Mr. and Mrs. or one's Mr. and Mrs., one... That was a gift from my sister. One is bride and groom, one that Izzy purchased. And I still got to get back to Richard. Props to Wolf Nation. He's going to give me a Wolf Nation bride and groom shirt. I just got to send the information over there. So I know he's a part of the initial ads in the front, but another shout out to Wolf Nation.
Absolutely.
Wake up, live free.
And Richie's been with us on and off for a long time now, a couple of years now. So go check that brand out, pre-orders mm-hmm. and shirts. Now, yep. You're not a big Disney guy, but you've kind of become one by marriage at this point. Do you say anything, or you're just like, okay, like you just take it on the chin?
It's one of those, it's both of our days. I know Disney's very big for her, so I don't have major issues with that. I mean, the cake is Disney themed, her bouquet is Disney themed, her hair has small Mickey Mouse ears in it.
Now, what do you think it is? What do you think the Disney, like, is there one reason you think she likes it so much? Is there something that she connected to later in life, or has it been a lifelong thing?
Well, she used to go pretty close to every year when she was younger. I mean, one of her last memories was heading over there with her mom, and also a time when she went there after her mom got sick and so forth. I mean, it's the childhood glee of everything there. As I pointed out, like, last week, and as we're going there in February, I don't knock Disney. I think they are excellent in what they do and doing accommodating things to every personality. The resorts are wonderful. The rides are fun there. I have nothing to knock about Disney. The only thing I've ever said to Izzy is, you do understand I do not want every single vacation to be a Disney vacation. I want to see other things in this world, and though Disney does a great job, it's not exactly your cheap weekend trip.
Is her argument, you can see everything in the world in Epcot?
She kind of laid that out, but she does understand it, and she doesn't fight back with, no, I love Disney, we have to go. And she, like, we had a conversation about it, and she's even thought about kind of doing like who we supported last week, Christine Rush, with the Magic Travel stuff. I told her maybe she should look at being a part of Disney, so that way she's a part of the Disney team. And as part of that Disney team, you also have to, like, go to a place once every 2 years. So if we're getting income in, it's less of a strain of, oh, we got to go again somewhere.
Right. Right. You should just get weird with him. Like, when she comes home, just be dressed as Mr. Incredible. Like, just just go as deep as you possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, babe, I got a Disney movie for you. It's called Up.
Have a balloon tied around your penis.
There's no sad ending to this film.
Freeze yourself like Walt Disney in the living room. Run around hating Jews.
Well, that'd be kind of weird considering her ethnicity, if you will.
Oh yeah, like so what are her feelings on that? He was a big Jew.
I brought it up before, like my brother likes a joke. You have to be there with my brother. My brother is a ball buster. He's like, you know, you're the only Jew in Georgia, right? And just like joking around and stuff like that. But anytime anybody brings it up, she says, like, I understand the history of Walt Disney, but he was also his world is kind of a melting pot now where people come together and so forth. It's not the original man I'm celebrating. It's the vision of like bringing people together and having this childhood fantasy and the family life together.
Yeah, just Jewless.
Yeah, in his head, his frozen head somewhere deep in Florida.
Is he actually frozen? Like, I know that was always a rumor when we were kids, like that Disney was, you know, Walt Disney was frozen. But is he like legit frozen?
I would have to look it up. I mean, it could be one of those we always thought was true but isn't true, kind of equivalent to like Pop Rocks and soda kind of deal. But
Pop Rocks and soda work. It does explode pretty well. It's like Mentos and soda.
Mm.
The fact at a very I'm trying to figure out. Snopes has was Walt Disney frozen, but there's a lot of words on this page.
Damn it. When I click on a link, it just should be a video of a guy saying no.
I was hoping it would just be yes or no.
Well, there are many things to consider. No!
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't Nixon's head frozen or something, too? Or was somebody else was frozen?
No, that's Futurama you're thinking about.
Nixon's back.
That was such an underrated show. I think I love that show more than Simpsons.
Yeah. I watched it a little bit. I kind of was, I don't know, was cartooned out a little bit, I think, at that point. But I see it every once in a while, and I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's when Fox went just all out, just like, everything's cartoon. Screw anything of a human being and all this. Simpsons, Futurama was like 7:30. King of the Hill was 8:30.
Never got into that show.
9 was Family Guy. And then at 9:30 was the offshoot of whatever Seth MacFarlane made it that always failed.
Wasn't like Bob's Burgers or something too? Like,
that came later, but yeah.
Yeah, I never really watched any of those. But.
They were all good for whatever they were. I DVR episodes of King of the Hill. It's kind of that calm kind of silent comedy, if you will, where it's not in your face kind of deals like some of them are.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think it is time. I think it's time to get to our guest. We might as well do it. It is interesting. This is an odd time for us. We are recording today on a Saturday morning. I don't know if we've ever recorded on a Saturday. Maybe like at an event.
Yes,
or
we
something.
Did. I do know one that we did on a Saturday morning. That was Sharon Alexander. We did it in the morning. Mm-hmm. That was one of the best podcasts where you were like miserable and you were kind of like, all right, you just gonna lead. I'm not gonna do much and all because of personal stuff. And then your face just lit up as the conversation went along.
I think the LARPing event might have been on a Saturday morning too.
That was Saturday too. Yep. When I was sick as hell and I was canine for a little bit.
When you were holding a cold Sprite on your forehead to try to feel better.
Not on my forehead, right on my eyeball.
After being a wizard for a couple hours and associating with cat people.
Yeah, and we were in the barn doing our podcast, and I remember in between one, I had to go outside and let go a little bit, if you will.
The way you say that, it makes it sound so much like let go could mean like you went and pleasured yourself in the woods. Like,
go on.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. I also remember it was that weird moment when I was sick, where it's like, all right, how do I? They're all in character right now. How do I ask where an aspirin is? I'm not sure if they're going to answer me or not. We had to find the chef where it's like, all right, I know you're not playing.
You got to go to the old, like, what are they? Like an alchemy room, like an alchemist, you know, mix you up some Advil.
Wizard, my head aches. What dost thou giveth me? No, I don't need points. Come on.
I don't want Eye of Frog. I need a goddamn Tylenol. Saturday mornings, man, though, I don't know. I was thinking before this, I'm like, when I was young, Saturday mornings were like everything. And now that I'm an adult again, like, I treasure my Saturdays off. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. What were Saturday mornings for you? Like, for me as a kid, I remember some cartoons, obviously. I remember wrestling. I remember the, like, 11 o'clock. And I also remember, for me, it was CCD. And then followed by a bowling league. I was in a bowling league. A bus would pick us up from CCD and take us to a bowling league.
I had bowling league on during the week, and I wasn't on Saturdays. I do remember American Gladiators on.
That's a good one.
Saturday mornings, and all that was intense, and all that was great. But I mean, I grew up in the 80s, so that was like the prime time of all. So that's when every single network was competing for like the Sunday morning or Saturday morning lineup. Like all of them had the best cartoons of all. I mean, you're talking about Smurfs, Swing the Pooh, Spider-Man's Amazing Friends. I recall that I was into that.
Maybe we should tell our audience to go back and check out our amazing interview with Zap from American Gladiators.
Or Michael Bell.
Yeah, Michael Bell. If you're choosing between the two, choose Michael Bell, please.
Yeah.
Sorry, Zap, but you were a snoozer.
Who was she with on that episode? I forget.
That's a good question. Keep going. I'll try to find out.
But I mean, as an adult, I mean, you just treasure it. I mean, I do my garage sailing, not too good this week. You know, I think everybody does the big ones the Saturday after, just because it's one of the last Saturdays of summer, and they're trying to get rid of everything before the fall and winter comes in, like the summer clothes and all that stuff. But I mean, the best part about Saturdays, it's the longest period of time before you have to go back to work.
Yes. Or Friday nights are good too, but yeah, Saturday mornings waking up. So now I look forward to, like, a lot of times, like, my soccer, like, Liverpool is on early Saturday mornings. I look forward to getting coffee and just sitting and kind of just, like, easing into the day. But, you know, I just looked it up. So Zap was on the Al Snow episode, apparently.
Ah, gotcha.
Which I kind of totally forgot about up until you just said American Gladiators. So Al Snow was good, if you guys want to go check that episode out. Episode 186.
There you go.
But I think it's time to get to our guest here. So our guest has been on this show, I don't even know, a lot.
I think this is his 10th time, I think.
Wow. But definitely our most reoccurring guest. It's been, I don't even know, remember the last time. It's been quite a while. But AJ Mattioli is a transgender director, film director. I know Words was probably the most recent large project he was working on. And he's kind of come on the show a bunch of times to give us a different perspective on some LGBT issues and his transition, which has always been interesting. I guess it's been about 2 years or so, probably, if not more than that. So he's been on a bunch, so we're going to give our pal AJ a call here.
Sounds good.
So, hey, buddy.
So what's the matter? 11:45. You're just partying too hard again.
Yeah, freaking last night got out of control. Freaking five thirty in the morning. I'm finally like walking into my room, like, oh, hey, I should probably go to bed.
5:30.
Yeah, the gay community, we call like midnight gay noon. So like, so things get out of control.
For anybody, if there was anybody out there homophobic, that'd probably be a great horror movie, you know?
Well,
it's 11:50. We have to get back. It's almost game noon.
That's a tremendous concept. It's, you know.
That's fantastic, actually. That's really funny.
Like a werewolf, you know, like, oh, no. All of a sudden, like, all the gays
John,
start you chasing
changed.
You down.
Why are you wearing a wig?
It'd be great if he turned into a bear. Like, hair just starts growing and he's just a chubby, fat, gay guy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be sweet if, like, everybody turned into, like, a different type of gay guy. You know what I mean? Like,
bear wolf.
Bear wolf. Great. That's fantastic.
So Gay Noon, which is probably going to be the name of this episode, by the way. Hold on 1 second. So Gay Noon. So what were you doing till 5 a.m? Just getting hammered? What was it? Like,
yeah,
were we dancing?
I mean, well,
what are we doing?
Well, essentially, like, you know, we do a lot of like drag shows. So like, you know, you get to the bar, then like you drink for like, they say it starts at, you know, at Gay Noon, and then it doesn't really start till, you know, it doesn't start till like 1 a.m. So then like, and then they do like the first set, and then you get like hammered, and then they take an hour break. So like the second set is at like 2:30 in the morning.
That's how I know I can never be a gay guy. Like, I am tired by 10:30. I'm wrapping things up. I'm donezo. I'm putting Seinfeld on and going to bed.
I mean, to be fair, most of my friends, you know, and me, because we work in nightlife, like we don't wake up till like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon usually. Yeah. So.
Well, considering we're waking you up early for this podcast, and it's basically lunchtime.
It's a hate crime, is it, when this.
Everyone, I got a podcast interview in like 4 hours. I know it's only 3 past Gay Noon, but I really got to go in. I got to go. I'm sorry.
Got an early day tomorrow. I got to get up, have some breakfast, do an interview.
Early morning? What are you, straight? What the hell?
Oh, my God. There's still daylight out. Why would you be outside?
But this is throwing me for a loop, because I thought brunch was pretty big in the gay community.
It is pretty big, but we don't think that.
We don't associate with the gay brunchers. They're a different faction.
The gay brunchers. I don't like those Sex in the City gays.
Those hardworking, eager beavers they are.
Yeah, because they can only drink on the weekends. Oh, so lame.
You're having a mimosa, but where's the drag show? Come on.
Yeah, come on. What is this? What is this nonsense?
I don't want a cucumber sandwich, you know. I want to be up at 2:30 in the morning.
I want to eat whatever is in the refrigerator at my apartment that's probably rotten at 4 o'clock in the morning. Thank you. Like, a civilized human being.
So, like, gay brunch for gay nooners is really just dinner time.
It's really just exactly.
So what's up? We just figured it out. It's been about 20 episodes or so since you've been on. The last one you were on, you were with Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. So that was pretty.
Right. Yeah.
That was an awesome
cool
combination.
Yeah, that was random as hell. That was great.
That's how we roll around here. But
I like it.
So I mean, we generally check in one on, you know, some of your projects you're doing, but two on your transition and whatnot. And I know, just reading your Facebook posts, not super recently, but a little while ago, you were having some complications. What's going on?
Yeah, essentially, we couldn't figure out. I was getting pretty bad hives, like to a point where like I would like stand up and I would fall because I had hives on the bottom of my feet. It was pretty crazy. And they definitely thought that it was I was a week and a half late with taking my testosterone shot because I was out of town and I forgot it. And my body just reacted in a very odd way, and they don't know if it was because I was late on the testosterone or if it was something, you know, outside of that. So that was a little bit scary because, you know, the idea of like going off of testosterone, it's like you're stuck in this in-between, kind of like I would always like pretty much like if I stopped testosterone now, like my body would probably get more feminine again, mm-hmm. but like my voice would always kind of stay here as opposed to dropping a little bit more, and it would kind of go back to the original. So like, you know, I was more scared of like, you know, this kind of in between perpetual, you know, 13-year-old puberty voice, you know.
Right.
So that was kind of you know, scary for me. And then it just overall, like, you know, it takes a toll on your body. You know, you do have to. I was more doing my due diligence and not going to the doctors to like get my levels checked and, you know, to make sure that the testosterone was doing what it was supposed to do, that there was more testosterone in my body than estrogen. And I just wasn't doing that. I was just kind of taking for granted the fact that, like, I don't have a problem doing my own testosterone shot. And I'm a big procrastinator. I will say that. And, you know, so I was delaying these appointments. You know, it's a doctor's appointment. If you don't feel sick, you don't want to go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, so finally they stopped prescribing my testosterone, and they were like, you need to come in and get everything checked. So luckily everything wound up working, you know, everything wound up being okay. But, you know, it is very important that, you know, you keep, you know, essentially it's very important to have self-care, and taking your testosterone shots on time and in the appropriate manner is self-care. It's important to do that.
Let me ask you something. Is there like I don't know why end point's coming, but is there like a point that you would eventually get to where then it's just maintaining a certain level? Like, are you increasing the amount of testosterone, or like, is there a point where things will level off eventually and you kind of reached, I don't know, I don't really know how to phrase it, where you reached where you want to be?
Essentially, I mean, menopause will automatically kind of do that for you.
Right.
So like, you know, there is, you know, you're naturally, your body is going to want to do things. So like, naturally my body wants to create estrogen. So, you know, essentially the testosterone is blocking that. It will get to a point where, like, they'll only increase it to a certain amount. It's just a matter of waiting for things for your body to catch up. So, like, most people, after, like, really 5 or 6 years, they're at their, like, peak of what they're going to look like, and it's kind of like nothing more is going to change. And then you can go into they have these capsules, which is brand new. They essentially cut a little hole into the side of your leg, and they put in these 3 capsules, and it releases testosterone slowly for like 6 months.
Yeah,
but that's more like once you've settled into really where your body's gonna kind of stop like reacting to it and just needs to maintain.
No, you wouldn't want to be like playing soccer and get kicked in that spot, and then all of a sudden you're like a werewolf the next day.
Now, I wonder if that's the opposite. Like, if like I cut my face, I wonder if like all of a sudden I'm just gonna start turning feminine or something like that. You know,
start.
It's a slow progression, Scott. After AJ comes mine, okay?
Yeah, what happened to his face, man? He got busted up.
Shower door.
Yeah. Plus, he got a cut on it.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. And the god that we just talked about earlier, it was. They came off the hinge. I was luckily wearing glasses where it scratched up my glasses because it probably would have went for my eye, but then it came off the glasses and ran right into my face and all, so.
Damn.
Nice
Damn.
Job, four eyes.
Yeah, really. So trying to take a shower.
Oh, cool. Cool, I can't see correctly.
Come on, guys. No Burles bashing on this podcast, okay?
I find the whole idea of glasses, the fact that you literally have to pay to see, you're like, oh, I have to go get some glasses because otherwise I will walk into things.
Yeah.
Like, damn, what if you're poor? Like, you just walk into shit all day?
Well, that's like my dad works out on the ports in Jersey City, like on cars and stuff like that. And, like, his health insurance doesn't cover his hearing aids. He can't hear anything. Yet he's got to go spend, like $5,000 to hear. Like, God forbid a car runs him over. Oh, you hear it.
And then add to it, you can't just go to any doctor. No, you have to go to the special eye doctor.
Yeah.
Like, if I have a foot problem, I can go to a regular doctor or an arm. But the second it's my eyes, oh, no, no, no. I don't touch that shit.
Yeah, no. No, it's true. It's crazy. Fucking angry Americans.
So are you back to feeling normal again?
Yeah, luckily, everything's kind of worked its way out, and they still haven't figured out what the hives were from. And like, we're talking like taking over my body hives, like. Oof. Like, not like, oh, I have a couple of like little bumps on my arm. Like, my body is red and swollen. So luckily that's kind of gone away, thank goodness. But I'm also on a lot of medication for it. So we're going to figure out how bad that comes back if I stop taking the medication. So it's all, you know, it's the human body. It's freaking a mess, you know. It's a disaster waiting to happen in the human body.
I can't imagine that goes well in gay noon over there.
You've been doing this, obviously, for quite a while now. Now, I know when initially, a lot of times from what I understand, when people go through gender transitions and stuff, there's like a mental evaluation, just examining, make sure people are aware. Do you still have to, like, do those kind of things?
That's a state per state thing. So New York is very, you go into Callan Ward, which is like the LGBT, you know, health center. You go in and they just have you sign a waiver saying that, like, you know what's going to happen to your body. You're aware and you're not going to hold them accountable kind of thing. And New York is one of the friendliest to that. Whereas I have friends in, you know, places like Alabama and Arizona and, you know, Texas that they force you to go to like therapy for a year. And then the doctor has to determine whether or not you're actually a boy or a girl. And it's very detrimental to a lot of trans kids because they feel like they're in a therapist and they have to, instead of being themselves and talking about themselves, they have to make sure that they are convincing the therapist that they really are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of goes into the whole like just lie to a therapist to get what you want kind of thing. And it's like, okay, but I'm paying for that therapy for a year, so like. You know, it's very classist. You know,
right.
You have to have the money to go to therapy. So like anyone that's poorer cannot, you know, doesn't have the capabilities, doesn't have the funds. You know, it's very even when it comes to surgery, like New York will, insurances will kind of cover most of the surgery for you if they, like, if my doctor has kind of convinced them of that, which is amazing. But like. It overall is, you know, it's really expensive, and unless you have the funds, it's definitely, in those areas, it's definitely very classist, and, you know, it's a little intense. But luckily, New York is, I tell everyone, come to New York, like, I'd rather be poor in New York than rich and unhappy in Arizona, so.
So, let me ask you something. I've been seeing some articles or some videos and whatnot on different, you know, whether it's rallies or protests and whatnot, but I've been seeing some blowback from between the transgender community and certain lesbians and whatnot. What is going on with that?
Okay, so it's...
Give us the dirt.
I mean, it's essentially there's these women called TERFs, and trans exclusionary radical feminism. So essentially that's women who, you know, cisgender women who are feminists and are fighting the good fight and are doing all that stuff, but then see transgender women as men in dresses. So so it's kind of very weird. It's a very progressive group that's fighting for equality, but then doesn't believe in transgender people, essentially. So it excludes them from the feminist conversation. You'll find them a lot, sadly, in the lesbian community, because they feel that, you know, and they, you know, quote unquote, from the people that I know, kind of feel like we've defunct and become trans men have a tendency to overcompensate with misogyny, to prove their manliness, they become a little bit misogynistic. And, you know, and because of that, lesbians kind of feel like we're becoming the, you know, what we fought against for such a long time. I mean, I'm using lesbians. You know, there's also a huge, you know, straight, you know, straight community of women that are, you know, fighting against us and you know, for no reason other than they got the, you know, they're fucking clit twisted. just for no reason. So it's, you know, because I was going to be infighting, I mean, right now, like in that community, you know, drag queens used to be men in dresses predominantly. Now it's kind of moved its way into, like with all art, it transforms and it's moved its way into the performance art kind of spectrum where cis women and non-binary people are able to do drag, and it's not about a man wearing a dress or, you know, you know, a girl wearing a suit. It's more about the hyperness of it. So like the over the topness of it. But then you have a lot of drag queens that are like, no, drag should only be for gay men, and you know, it's ridiculous fighting because, you know, we've been able to, you know, with Facebook ignore, you know, the Republicans just block, 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 block. So then we start fighting within ourselves over nonsense. That's essentially what happens there. You know, it's fanatic group. It's, you know, you go to Italy, you know, go to Italy and you ask Northern Italy about Southern Italy and they're like, ah, fucking Sicilians, you know. Like, people just like to have a group to pick on. And I think that's just human, you know, that's just kind of, you know, Animal Farm, Lord of the Flies shit, you know, but it's true. It's like, you need someone to pick on. It's always gonna. Someone always needs to feel on top, and that's kind of what it comes down to. Humans are humans, you know.
And like, bringing up politics, do you, like, from being a part in the community, does the group like it when somebody points out we're gonna do this for specifically the gay community or whatever, or is it almost kind of like, all right, you just point to us to get our votes versus the individual?
It's very, it definitely can't be during Gay Pride Month. We make a joke like about how every straight, non-including storefront will slap on a gay flag. And we, like, in New York especially, we'll kind of, like, break it down and be like, just so you know, like, these people are not gay-operated, they're not gay-owned, they didn't have a flag on their store up until last week, so they're not really that gay-friendly. Like, you know, we definitely know that the straight community is, and the straight community is definitely just seeing us as walking dollar signs. And that's definitely a feeling that used to only be present during Gay Pride, but now it's, you know, in the political climate of everyone wanting to show how woke they are, you know, it kind of comes off 100% generic and bullshit. Like, for me, unless you're LGBT, I don't necessarily believe that you have our best interests in mind. Like, it's a safety thing, and at this point, I'm just like, I don't know if I necessarily believe what you're saying.
Well, let's talk about safety. You mentioned it. I remember 2 years ago when Trump was being elected, and you have we discussed this a while ago. Just kind of the fear among the community, and you know, just fear of whatever, whether it's gay bashing or just some of the laws that were going to be changed and whatnot. How? So we're almost 2 years into this lovely show that we're involved
fucking
into.
Disaster.
Yeah. Well, so I guess like 2 years in, what are, you know, do you still feel exactly the same way? Have things been done to kind of help prevent this? Have you had positive experiences or negative experiences? Do you see people getting behind you, or is it more you're still finding a lot of adversity?
I would say that I don't think any of us expected it to be this bad, and I don't mean that necessarily in just for gay people. I think the gay community overall thought we were going to spend 4 years fighting for our rights.
Right.
We didn't realize how many different people's rights he was going to take away. Like,
yep.
you know, all my friends are, you know, when it comes to kids, like, we're like, fuck the gay rights. Like, we got kids in cages over here, you know. So, like, I think a lot of people in the LGBT community, especially in New York, are very politically charged, very politically active. And we see that, like, there's all this other shit that's happening. Like, Well, like, we don't even know what to do, where to even start anymore. So, like, these protests can feel a little bit unorganized because there's so many things to be pissed off about. You know, it's like it's constant. Every day you wake up and you're just like, what fresh hell are we in today? you know, so I think, you know, it's definitely not good. I think that I get to live in a New York City bubble where all of the campaigning commercials for, like, you know, Cuomo versus Nixon or any of the political commercials I've seen have been very, like, you know, we have New York City values and we're not going to let, you know, Trump's, you know, we're fighting against Trump's racist, blah, blah. And they're not even competing with each other. They're just talking about how they're not going to let Trump's policies into New York City. And I've never in my life seen political commercials that weren't against each other, against their opponent, right, but against the president. Like it's an insane time for politics. I don't think any of us in the gay community were prepared for how unraveled and how insane everything was going to be, that, like, we can't even really focus up. I mean, every day there's a new thing. You know, I mean, we are very much as I want Donald Trump impeached, we are extraordinarily scared as a community that if Pence becomes the president, who knows about these kids in Alabama and Arizona and those shithole fucking South states that, you know, except for the listeners who are clearly from those states, are amazing.
So you're saying you're not going to take my invite to come down to Georgia to see my house?
Yeah, no, I'm probably going to skip that. you know, it's, you know, I think, you know, overall, though, I think, you know, we are just so inundated with shit right now that we're, you know, you focus on the idea of having Pence, like, in those states, like, they believe in conversion therapy for gay people. And I don't know how much you know about conversion therapy, but it can be as little and, I mean, mentally detrimental as just putting a kid in therapy, trying to convince them that being gay is wrong. And then there's really intense ones where they do electric shock therapy and they beat the shit out of the kids and they force, like, 12-year-old gay boys to fuck 12-year-old girls this way, like, they can undo the gayness from each other. And, like, it's a freaking nightmare. It's like my friend Brian went through a small one, and he wound up getting a really big meth addiction because he couldn't handle it. You know, so, like, we have a vice president that believes in that, and he's just quiet and not saying anything and just waiting. It feels very much like he's just lurking and waiting to kill us. So it's a little bit scary, you know, but in 20 minutes, Trump will say something even more insane, and I'll be like, oh, well, we're probably going to have a nuclear war before they get us into a concentration camp, so we're good.
That's true. You know? That's true.
You know, I'm like, well, we'll be blown up before they really get to us, so it's fine. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think anyone is, you know, you know, there's a whole group called Twinks for Trump, and, like, I don't even understand how they can look at this situation and be on gay networks and be on gay, you know, websites and not be livid and disgusted. You know, it's, but stupid is as stupid does, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt.
So what are you working on as far as artistically?
Oh, well, right now I'm very excited that we're finishing up the last two movies, the last two shorts, which is Role of a Lifetime with Rain Dove. And we have a short drama with some beautiful gay boys called Neon Boys. And then, but I'm really excited about what's coming up. We're doing a docuseries called My First Time. And it's when you ask...
It's about fishing, people, right?
It's about fishing.
No, fishing, fishing. Keep it clean.
I was like, damn, dude.
Damn, you went hardcore on that one, man.
I was like, that escalated quickly.
That went somewhere I didn't want it to go.
But it's essentially like when you ask a heterosexual person when your first time was, they usually respond with the first time they had sex. When you ask a gay person, they'll either respond with the first time they had sex or the first time that they were gay bashed. So it's a kind of a turn of phrase. So I used that idea to kind of create this web series and ask questions like that, or like, when is the first time that you were bashed? When is the first time that you were called a racial slur? You know, if there's a person that's, you know, overweight, when was the first time that you were called a slur about your physical appearance? And it's a docuseries that really kind of explores the first time of the bigger instances, the bigger events in your life. And then it will end on like a happier note, like, when was the first time you had like consensual sex? When was the first time you realized that you wanted to do what you're doing for a living for the rest of your life? And kind of spin it on a good note towards the end of each episode. But that's my next big project, which I'm creating a Facebook page for today.
Nice.
Well, I mean, we talked about before how you got started where the you almost got the position or where they said, well, you're gay, you're in the gay community, you understand, here's a movie for you. And but does as proud as you are with the whole community and everything you do, is there anything about you that says, man, I would just like to have, for lack of a better term, a regular movie to kind of work on where nobody's just I don't want to say pushing the community or the LGBT, but kind of just like, here's just a movie. You do great work. Here it is.
I mean, I do normally when because I do work on a lot of films. I don't always produce. I do a lot of group work. I do a lot of, you know, I'm a jack of all trades, so I just like to be on set. So I'll do production design. So like I work with a lot of, you know, on a lot of straight films. And those people, once they find out what I do and they see my work, they'll want to hire me. And we get into this conversation a lot. I usually take a lesser role and I'll hire just my – I'll take a producer role on the end of hiring the crew. So you get the camera guys, all my equipment, because I have a ton of equipment. And you get that for, you know, the same price if I was doing a gay movie. But I don't have any artistic say over things. So I don't have, I'm not like a producer on that end. I'm like, this is your movie. I'm going to help make it for less money than you would normally have to make because I have the company, you know, with equipment, you know, but we, you know, as far as me producing it, me kind of breaking down the script, doing the budget, doing the real producer stuff of it, I don't really bother with that.
So I also, go ahead.
You know, it's just passion, you know, it's where the passion is. So, like, I'll always do a great, if you give me a script and want to hire me to do production design, I'll rock out production design. But as far as, like, getting it distributed, like, I don't give a shit if it gets distributed.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm like, I'll do a good job, but if I, like, never hear about the film again, I'm not going to be wasting tears over it, you know.
Mm.
You have enough freaking movies, all right?
Yeah. I mean, we got to make that gay noon movie anyway. So,
that's on the list now.
There's got to be a gay superhero movie around the corner. There's got to be something.
Well, yeah, Batwoman's a lesbian. Ruby Rose.
Oh.
Is that being made?
Yeah. She, I don't know why they can't. I mean, she's not as fucked. I mean, I think they actually go by they and them. They're not as fucked, but they, you know, they're not a very good actor. So I'm nervous for the film. I'm like, oh, that woman's played by like a hot woman, like a hot person who is identifying as a lesbian in the movie. Like, that's awesome, but like the movie's gonna be terrible.
seeing old pictures of Aquaman, I thought he would have been the first gay superhero, but now he looks like Rob Zombie. So I don't know. So AJ, before we go, if you know the usual, if anybody wants to go check out your work and where those projects might end up, and I know you still promote the movie Words. Where can they go?
Yeah, Words is my, you know, my good thing right now. That is the documentary that I'm pushing because of the state of America. Well, not America, the state of the United States, because I don't like to dog our northern brothers of Canada. So you can see Words, which needs to be seen in the United States right now on Amazon. And you can see it with Amazon Prime, and it's also available. It's available in all of North America and in all of the United Kingdom, which is really nice. So you can see words, and as always, a portion from that film goes to charity. So it helps every time you watch it, even if you have Prime, a percentage of that amount that Amazon pays us goes towards the Ollie Forney clinic for the Ollie Forney Center for Homeless Youth. So, yeah, definitely check out Words.
That's awesome. Now, my final question, it's been a running question we've been asking guests. As a person from New York, I think you're going to be on my side.
Okay.
What is your thoughts on pineapple on pizza?
Oh, God, no. I would take the pineapple off and slap you in the face with it.
Thank you.
You know, I thought I thought you were progressive, and I thought you had an open mind, but no. You're just like the rest of them. You're just like the curmudgeon Italians that you all are. You don't want to change. You're not used to anything new. Pineapple on pizza is – it should be included on the flag somewhere. It should be its own group. And it's
no,
awesome.
No. Pineapple does not deserve a parade, Scott.
It does. No. It does. I will be openly out at the pineapple pizza parade.
You stand tall, my friend. You stay tall in the face of
adversity. Pineapple and ham, come on. With a little hot peppers. Woo! It's delicious.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm just upset about this whole end of the podcast. I'm just upset.
I'm upset with you. See if we have you back.
Yeah.
You're a fraud. You're a fraud.
You're a hack.
Progressive my ass. Equal rights my ass.
All right. No, I can't even lie to you and say I'm gonna try it. I'm not happy.
Have you tried it?
No, I've definitely made fun of people in the room and said, thank God you're not Italian or your ancestors be, rolling their grave. But, I guess good enough Irish people, maybe. I don't know.
AJ
has strong conservative pizza views. Why can't you accept that, Scott?
You know what? Maybe I need to go to pizza conversion therapy,
Yeah. Maybe. I think that's it. They just feed you mozzarella all day. Just eat it.
They just dump a can of pineapple on some Elio's and be like, eat it. You like it, huh? Doesn't that taste good? No?
Maybe I don't get it. She's at gay noon till 5:30 in the morning at a drag show, but yet pineapple pizza, no. That's a hot button topic.
Yeah.
I love it.
AJ, we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for the catch-up. I loved it.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one, buddy.
Bye. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Possibly the most, progressive person we have generally on the show, returning, And you know what? Some old school traditions can't be broken.
I just like how he thought that you were suggesting a fisting movie there for a minute.
Yeah, that got aggressive.
Yeah, we call that gay 420.
Speaking of New York, the other day I went to do a show in New York that got canceled, which was a lot of fun, but KP Burke was on the same show, got canceled, but I get there and I'm like, oh, hey, KP, what's up, man? Didn't expect to see you there, and he's kind of like, he's got a shot of whiskey, and he's like, kind of looks a little shook up. I'm like, what's the matter, man? He's like, apparently he opened his taxi cab door the minute a guy on a bike was coming and just blasted the guy on the bike. And like the guy like went ass over a tea kettle, like right over, and he was like, oh my God. Like, and the guy was not very happy with him, but, it was pretty amusing.
I couldn't
story.
Imagine taking a header and be like, it's cool. I love your work.
And then apparently,
Dumb Fellas is a great podcast.
Apparently later that night, he saw someone get another bike, like messenger, get hit by a truck. And he said, if they lived, it was a miracle. So, not a good night for bikers.
KP Perk, Biker Grim Reaper. That's a good t-shirt.
Reaper on wheels. But I don't know, man. I think that's all I got, man. I'm good. I think you got anything?
I can I got a quick list over some weird injuries to see if mine is the worst you ever heard of with the shower door.
Oh, it's definitely not the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, but you've been racking up some good ones lately. You had a splinter in your ass like 2 weeks ago. You had
the
face.
True.
I feel like there was something else recently, too.
No, I know when I first started dating Izzy, that was that time I thought I took a knife to my to one of my arteries, if you recall.
Yes,
where
yes,
it was,
yes.
Was washing dishes, and a knife was poking out, and it was right next to the vein, so I was panicking. I accidentally committed suicide, so...
And we were all hoping it was real. No, my favorite is still your. It wasn't an injury, but your cramp when we were at the Kilt Fest has to be my favorite of them all. All of a sudden, you're walking through a field, and we look back. I'm like, "What are you doing?" You're like walking like a zombie, and you were holding like a crate of our wires, and you're like, "I got a cramp. I got a cramp." Limping through the field in the hot sun.
That was like 2 weeks I was getting leg cramps. And I think when I was doing the pumpkin spice whatever and at your house and one started.
Is that making a reappearance this year?
Yeah, I will be doing it. I was already looking around for items. I actually made a spreadsheet of all the pumpkin spice items I already did to try to avoid repeats. Now, Izzy brought out that since she wasn't there for year one and for probably the first couple of them and all, she could do like a pumpkin spice review, if you will, coming back to something that I did before.
See, I'm a fan of just straight up Berlew videos. I think once we get to the couple, then it's long. I like your straight up review telling us what we think in the middle of the night, in the middle of the, you just randomly come on and I'm a fan of those.
Well, I had a couple of those, so who knows? I mean, if she's like, I don't feel like it, I'll just do the solo act a few times, and I'll tell them, like, come on, get over here.
All right, so we'll see what you're going to eat. You should make pumpkin items, too, like you did last year.
I will.
I think you should.
I mean, I will not return punk-a-mole. I will say that. That was rather freaking gross.
Pumpkin lasagna.
Well, that could work. I mean,
pumpkin pizza.
It's better than pineapple. I actually had pumpkin pizza, if you recall. That was my last episode last year.
That's right. All right. So give us some of these injuries.
All right. Woman got beat up by a cockroach. I was trying to kill a cockroach by squishing it on my carpet with a paper towel, but it would not die. So I picked it up with a paper towel, but for some reason I didn't crush it, and it started to get on my hand. So I started sprinting to throw it in the toilet. I slipped and fell on one of those big candles with the three wicks in the jar. Lots of blood, and 10 stitches later, there is now a 2.5-inch scar on my leg, and I don't even kill the roach. I got my ass beaten by a cockroach.
Nice. So far, this sounds like something that would happen to you. So far, this is one for one. Something I can see you coming on next week being
well,
like, something happened.
I know you're going to say two for two for this next one. This woman got headbutted by a dog. My fun one was this past summer at a school barbecue fundraiser weekend. Some kids dropped a popcorn machine behind me and my dog. He jumped up startled and his head jammed my finger. Had to have surgery to correct totally torn apart tendons, broken bones, and dislocation. Fingers still messed up. Will never make a fist again.
Broken bones. Jeez, that dog's head must be like titanium.
Yeah, it has to be a rock.
I've gotten headbutted by Obi, like playing around, like where he'll, you know, head to head, like will just he'll hit me in the head, and he's never. One time, I definitely remember like seeing stars. He like almost knocked me out. His head opens doors with his head and like just runs into things. So, I could see how that can happen.
Yeah, I've had a few times with Callie, so I know the feeling. This person burned themselves on a curry, and the curry wasn't even that great. I was heating up a curry in the microwave, which was very safely placed on top of an extremely high fridge. Being very small and not being able to locate my special step, I try to reach up and remove the curry. Lo and behold, half the curry spills down me, completely coating my arm. It burnt me so severely that it damaged the nerves, so I didn't have any idea how serious it was. I was so busy eating the rest of my curry and mourning the loss of half of it, it wasn't until I realized my whole arm was one big blister that I finally went to the hospital. Took months to heal, and the curry was only average.
I'm calling BS on that one.
You are?
Yep, yep. I'm calling shenanigans on that one. So they sit in there just wolfing down curry, and they don't notice their arm is a giant blister? You eat with your hands. I'm calling BS.
Well, I mean, this is off a Reddit article, so I don't know, but I can understand your BS calling here.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one?
Smells fishy.
This woman... This woman burned herself with the batteries of her dildo. I once drunkenly fell asleep with a personal toy. It overheated and the batteries leaked acid. When I rolled over in my sleep, the skin was torn off the inside of my thigh. When I stopped screaming, I took a look. Bravo. Points. Points on that one. I took a look. It was pretty gruesome looking. Too embarrassed to go to the ER, I called a PA friend of mine, and he helped me as best he could. I couldn't walk right for months. It took forever to heal. Not only that, I ended up with a scar on the inside of my thigh in the perfect shape of a penis.
Ah, nice. That's lovely.
I mean, she's a good girl. She knows what the perfect shape of a penis is. So
a common injury that takes place at gay noon.
Not again. This woman just used the phrase extreme wedgie. I broke my vagina in a cliff diving accident. I jumped from 50 feet plus feet and started to feel a sort of stinging pain. Coincidentally, my fiance was also injured. Got him to the hospital, and when I peed, I noticed blood. Ugh. Got it checked out, and I had an inch-long laceration from hole to hole.
Ugh.
I guess when I jumped, my bikini bunched up, and I got an extreme wedgie. They wanted to stitch it, but I wouldn't let them. It never healed properly, and 3 years later, I had a C-section with my son instead of natural delivery, just in case.
That sounds horrific.
Anything with the words extreme wedgie cannot be amazing. So, and finally, sucks to be this woman. Oh, I love these puns. I was vacuuming and thought the vacuum might not be working well. So I put my hand up to feel if the suction was weak. I forgot about the beater bar and it pulled my finger into the vacuum. The beater bar was going fast enough that it took off all the skin on my finger, both down to the tendon. It actually bled very little and hurt much less than what was once expected because one of the blood vessels and nerves were torn off.
Hmm.
I was also incredibly lucky because I should have needed a skin graft, but my finger managed to heal on its own. The scar tissue was painful to deal with, and it took a long time to regain full flexibility and use my finger.
Ah, lovely. I'm sure.
So,
I mean, each one of those scenarios I could see happening to you, the dildo, the vibrate, all of them.
No, Scott, that wouldn't happen at all. I mean, maybe if I neglected the girl, but I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? No.
No.
Well, you know. Maybe on a weird night.
Yeah.
Weird Georgian night.
Hey, before we go, since this will come out the day after the season starts, what is your NFL predictions for this year?
Oh, well, it's funny you say that because I was going to talk to you. I think it would be fun. You know how we've always been trying to rework kind of like the Shenanigans Showdown thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or the concept of some kind of challenge. I thought it would be fun to do. It doesn't just have to be sports or anything like that, but it, like almost maybe not weekly, but maybe every bi-week we can kind of do like some kind of bet, right? We could each take a side of a bet, and then there's some kind of consequence, whatever it might be. Now, they don't have to be extreme because they would have to be a quick turnaround, or it could be something that's done on the air, something like that. So I don't know if we could pick a game. We could, we could bet on anything. If it's the, the debates or something like that, we can bet on who's, who does the best, stuff like that. We could really get a little creative with
it. Okay. I'm definitely down with that.
Yeah. My predictions for the football season, that's tough. I think the Packers are going to be very good again.
And I think
the Rams are a team that's going to be right in it. But as far as the AFC, I'm not really sure, man. I think the Chargers are going to be good this year.
That's my dark horse. I've been telling people that, and they're laughing it off. I'm like, no, they're pretty stacked right now. Their defense is tight. I mean, the only thing that hurts them is 12 people show up for their home games. But
yeah, are we? When you're saying what are our predictions, are you saying Super Bowl predictions?
I would probably say that. And if you want to throw out any other bold prediction, go right ahead.
I'm gonna have to think about this one. Maybe next week I'm gonna give you a Super Bowl prediction.
All right,
I really
gotta
think
good.
And maybe look at the teams again. Right now I want to say Green Bay and someone, but I don't have an AFC pick at the moment.
All right, we'll hold off till next week.
I do think Kansas City is gonna be good too.
Yeah, but the greed always finds a way to choke somehow.
That's true.
He always finds a way.
He did make it to a Super Bowl though once. Doesn't mean he's going to win.
He did once, and all that Donovan McNabb was vomiting on the sidelines and blew it for the team.
You know what? Screw it. Let's go Packers Chiefs.
Packers Chiefs.
Packers Chiefs. I'm going to put it out there. Why not? Let's not.
I'm going for. It's going to sound crazy. An all LA Super Bowl.
Wow.
I'm saying Rams Chargers.
I like it. I can see the Rams for sure. Chargers. I think they're going to be good, but maybe a year away. You know what I mean? Like they're on. I feel like it always takes like a team like 2 years of being good. Like they have that real good year, and then they take the next step the next year, like of getting to the finals. Like that's kind of how it always seems. But I could see it.
I think it's the perfect time. I think New England is starting to show people are getting a little sick of Belichick. That it does, they don't have the same military style. What happens in New England stays in New England.
You know what? I can't wait till. All the criticism on the Patriots, like maybe they're losing, and then they go 12-2 again, 12-4 again. The first seed in the playoffs.
I can see it, but I don't like their offense right now. It's Tom Brady and a bunch of who, and I can see that hurting them. And I think Pittsburgh is also kind of going the way of New England in the sense that even though they got Le'Veon Bell back, he's still pissed off. He sees all these big contracts. I'm sure Antonio Brown in the back of his head's looking at OBJ contract and like, I need some of that cash. And I see them slipping, and that's why I see some team you're not sitting back going, oh yeah, one of them kind of sneaking up and slapping people. So
all right, so Burlow's got all LA. I've got Chiefs and Packers. And real quick, where do you see your Redskins record? What do you say?
Sadly, I see us at about 7-9.
Yeah, I don't see the Redskins doing much.
That Geis injury really destroyed them, and I was so excited when we picked him up. I think Alex Smith with a really good running back can be deadly, but I think Adrian Peterson will have spurts here and there, but it's not going to be anything consistent, and. Just keep on getting hit with the injury bug, and that's what destroys us. And I think this will end up being Gruden's last year, and we'll be looking for a new coach.
Yeah, and the norm for the Redskins.
Yeah.
Coach shopping. The Giants are really weird this year, man, because they're putting a lot of faith in Eli Manning. I'm a little...
Yeah.
You know,
I can't believe they didn't draft somebody this year. I was really shocked.
Yeah. They're putting a lot of faith in a better offensive line, but so far they still don't look wonderful. And Eli Manning has not really looked good in a couple of years now. So now he is surrounded with a lot of weapons. I'll give them that. Offensively, they got weapons everywhere. Defense, I don't know if they're going to be anything special. But here's the thing. If they do not make the playoffs, it's a failure because otherwise they should have drafted a quarterback. So the minute they drafted Saquon Barkley, they were announcing that they're all in for the next 2 years, that they are going for it, and they're not rebuilding. If they were rebuilding, they should have probably taken Darnold or one of the quarterbacks that was on the board. So anything less than them having a winning season, it should be considered a failure to me, even though they did only win, what was it, 3 games last year?
Personal feeling,
maybe I'm feeling in that 8-8, 9-7 max kind of range. So I could see them missing the playoffs and kind of being in this weird in between stage of rebuilding and having a lot of old guys on the team. So I don't know. Giants are a weird team this year, I gotta say. I feel like I have a read on them, not so much. I could see them going either way. I really could. But
yeah,
I'm excited
totally
to see Barkley. Quickly. I didn't think it was the right move, but I'm excited to see the kid.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a stud and all. I mean, I really see that now with these rules changing where you can't duck your head. I see it coming back to more of a running back game and all, because I can just see running backs just coming bulkier and bulkier, kind of like the old days, and just pushing down and being able to arm put give a forearm to some guys and get longer runs. It's going to slowly happen, I think. So
yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll put them in, and maybe next week I'll have a topic we can put the first bet in about, and it'll be like over that week, so we can report
sounds
back
good
on the following week. All right. Anything to promote, Berlo? I have a feeling that you might be promoting the same thing as me.
No, I'm going to do something different. It might lead to what you're promoting, but I'm going to talk about our friend who kills bicyclists, KP Burke, and his podcast.
That's what I was doing.
Oh, wow. I didn't think that. I figured you'd be doing the next Tapas show, which he'll be appearing on.
Yeah,
but
you can do that.
Yeah, the podcast is called American Loser, and each week KP Burke is going to dive into stories of the biggest losers in American history. His co-host is his dad, Lawrence Patrick Burke, and he helps him keep the show informative but still full of dick jokes. Their first episode is about Grover Cleveland, the only loser to serve non-consecutive terms as president of the United States. They're part of the Shared Universe podcast, so check them out on SoundCloud or iTunes.
Yep, and if you want to, I guess since we're on KP, I will do what Berlo said. The next Tap House 15 show is right around the corner. We just had one 2 nights ago, and it was fantastic. Another sellout crowd, and it was just awesome. KP Burke will be appearing on that. Kevin Garifo from The Shining Wizards, Jackie Byrne, and then headliners McDonald and Carney. So we'll get a little improv going there. I'll be on it too, but I decided that I don't need to be on every single flyer because I kind of get sick of seeing my own face. So it gets kind of
you with your little tilt head and your mouth open.
Yeah. I just kind of get sick of like, oh, here he is again. So I could always just jump on if I feel like it, or I could sit and enjoy myself if I don't want to.
I feel what would be great is if you get Alex to get impromptu photos of you and use that every month as your shot on the
like a different weird photo,
like you just accidentally come out of the shower and I'll just and put that on.
Well, with that, let's get the hell out of here. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind in your back. Go check out some old episodes. And then also give us some ratings on iTunes and all that fun stuff. Adios, Berlo. Don't cut the other side of your face.
I'll try not to. We'll